In the book of 2 Kings,
22nd chapter, just want to look at a little verse here. Fifth verse, it says, "And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house." Well, if you want something done, I suppose you'd want to give it to the doers. There's people that are doers. Different people have different kind of professions and different things that they can do, different skills. And if you wanted a house built, you'd go to the carpenter. If you wanted your vehicle fixed, you'd go to a mechanic. And those are doers. But the Lord wants us all to be doers. He wants us to be doers. He wants us to accomplish something. Every one of us tonight are supposed to be doers. We're supposed to be getting somewhere, going somewhere, accomplishing something. God made it to be that way, and He's capable of it. God is capable to look through all of our what we would call human traits, our shynesses, or our boldnesses, or whatever it is. God's able to look through that tonight and be able to work with that, and we're to be doers. We're to be representatives. Christ isn't here anymore in this flesh, but He's got people here. And He wants the cause represented here in truth. He wants His life to be able to be seen through us. And He wants it to be a pureness too. Because Christianity has been all over the place and there's a name for it everywhere. But the reality isn't always there. A lot of times it's a false impression of what Jesus really is. I thought of a few years ago about I heard on the news about some guys that drug another person to death. And I thought, what a bad thing to do. These people was doing it in the name of religion. Well, it's a bad religion then. People that go around blowing up abortion clinics, not doing it in the name of my Lord. That isn't what He would do. But He wants us to be doers. That's my thought tonight. Doers. Over in the first chapter of James, it says in the 19th verse, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Lord, help us tonight to get a hold of this verse, because there is nothing worse than being deceived. And this is talking about a self-deception. It is possible for someone to come along and deceive you. But this is talking about a self-deception to where you deceive yourself. Nobody else is involved in this one. You're deceiving yourself. And how does it happen? Well, according to the scripture here, the way it happens is to hear the word. And it is good to hear the word. The Bible tells us to hear the word. He even said, be quick to hear and slow to speak. It's good to hear the word. But this, according to this passage, if you don't apply the word to the necessary action, you're going to deceive yourself. You're going to accept the word as a truth and not apply it into your life, then there's a deception there. The more you do it, the deeper that grows. Until all of a sudden, and I'm afraid today that many have been caught in this trap of self-deception. That I have listened and heard the Word of God and have accepted the Word of God. I believe it's the truth. And I never applied it to my life. And I'm deceived in the working of it. It never happened in my life. I know that this has happened a lot around us because I can see the fruits of self-deception. I can see that people haven't embraced the real Word of God. Because if had they have embraced that Word that we've heard, some of us, for many years. I've heard it for 2.5 decades. Been very intent on hearing it. But if I don't take what it says and apply it and use it and be a doer of it, when the Word of God comes along and says something, to say yes, Lord, to that Word. I believe the Word, but Lord, help me to apply it into my life. Into what does it mean for me? Lord, help me to apply it. When I see people beginning to squabble and fight, I can say to you that somewhere along the line, if those people have been people that have listened to the Word of God and heard the Word of God, there is a breakdown in the doing of it. In the really getting it down in their heart, there is a breakdown in it because there is none of that in the Word. The Word never tells us to have dissension in our life, does it? Does it tell us to be argumentative? Does the Word teach us to be of an argumentative spirit? Does it teach us to be abrasive? Does it teach us to be fighters? Does the Word of God teach those things? Well, obviously no. Obviously no. So the writer here is teaching about the engrafted Word. That means that you get a hold of it and now it works. It becomes something in there that I allowed to work in my life. Not only a hearer. One commentator said this. If we was to hear a message every day. Every day. A message straight from heaven. An angel from heaven proclaims a message. The Word of God to us. Preaches to us every day. And we listen to it every day. It would avail us nothing. If we don't do it. Though we get it from the purest of source. Though there can be no gainsaying. See, you all can gainsay if you will. You could say, that's Brother Marty. That's Brother Marty. You could say that. But if it was to be so pure to come from straight from heaven from an angel. If we don't do it. It avails nothing. It doesn't accomplish anything in our lives. You know, there are some things that's basic. We've already talked about it in this meeting. The Lord had a lot to say about loving one another. Didn't He? When it came to the time that the one came to Him and said, what is the greatest commandment? He said to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That incorporates so much to love God. Jesus told us to love God, and I can say, I see the point of that. To love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I can incorporate on that and begin to put a gauge in my life. How much do I love God? But then, He also said, how do you say that you love me, whom you've not seen, and you don't love your brother whom you have seen? So He teaches us that it comes all the way full circle back to the way we love one another. I remember seeing a billboard out here in the West somewhere that said something like, love one another. Then underneath it, it said, I meant that, God. I said that and I mean it, that you should love one another. But then we say, well, we do. We do. I've heard that. I accept that word. What a great idea. What a great idea that we should love everybody. The fascinating idea. What a world to live in. We love everybody. But that's what the Bible teaches us. That we should love everybody. That our response ought to be love to everybody. You know, I hear these words, and I accept that from the Lord. He said for us to love our enemies. Now, I ain't talking about a mushy feeling all the time. Somebody comes up and does something that's really wrong to you, you're not going to have a mushy feeling about it. But love isn't a mushy feeling. Love is my choice to say, I'm going to do what's right for them. I'm going to give to them. I'm going to love them. It's not about a feeling. Feelings come with it, but it's not about a feeling. So the Lord has taught us this, and the writer here says that if you do it, if you hear it, and you continually hear it, but you don't apply it, then you'll deceive yourself. You'll deceive yourself in that your thoughts are right. How many times, Lord help us, I pray that the Lord will open our hearts tonight and help us to see ourselves. How many times have we justified ourselves right in the face of Scripture? How many times have we said within our own, I know that the Lord says that I should love my enemy, but I ain't going to let them do me that way. I know that it says that I ought to be long-suffering, but I have an excuse here for this. You're asking to deceive yourself. Because line upon line, you'll determine your own righteousness about it. You'll set a barrier for yourself that's acceptable to God in your own mind. And you'll be self-deceiving. And then what we see is all the carnal results of a deception. But he said, not only to be hearers of the word, but be doers of it. When I accept that fact of it, then I'll say, Lord, help me to apply that into my heart. Help me to apply it. That it isn't just a mind now. It isn't just an intellectual intelligence that I have. It isn't just something that I've thought of, that I've come up with. But it's God. It's God's word that I'm applying into my life. And into my heart. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. Okay? Simple little illustration is to look into a mirror. They have mirrors that will do all kinds of things. You ever seen those mirrors? There's mirrors that will help you out. If you need help to help. All you got to do is slide one way or the other in it, and it'll make you bigger if you're a little on the thin side. And then you can slide the other way and narrow down a little bit. And look at it and behold. And that's the way people want to use the Word of God. Lord, let me slide right on over here. Because I want to try to fit in a little bit. Or let me slide over here. But this is not what he's talking about. He looks into a glass and he sees himself. But he said this is what he's like. If he don't do it, the Word of God comes by. It comes along, the Word of God, whether you receive it straight from the Scripture, from the mouth of the Lord or from one of these ministers, the Word of God comes by and touches your life and says, here is what is acceptable of life. The Lord's Word is to help you and I know how to live life. How to make heaven our home. How to be like Jesus, a good representative of Jesus. When hard times come, you want to know how a Christian would go through a hard time. When you're persecuted, to be able to know how a Christian goes through persecution. When you're put down, how to speak up. And when things are coming against you, how to humble yourself down, just like the Lord did. All those are a part of the Lord's words, and we say, I heard that. I heard that. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I heard that. He did what? He humbled himself. I heard that. Humility is an attribute of Christ. I heard that. If I don't apply that, it doesn't do me any good. If I don't apply that, I'm going to make an excuse to why I'm not humble because nobody else is. I can make a reason for not being humble, and then I'm deceiving myself. It's like going away then. I heard you, Lord. I heard that the answer to my problems, humility. But how hard is it to humble yourself? Sometimes it's hard to humble yourself. It's hard to say sometimes, I'm wrong and I'm sorry for it. It's hard to do that sometimes. Yet the Lord gave us the answer. This is what you're supposed to do. And how easy it is to hear that word and not be a doer of it. Over and over, these little things will crop out in our lives if we ain't very careful. And show up that I haven't been a doer of the word. I haven't been applying the concept to my heart. I've been hearing it in my mind, but I've not been applying it to my heart. I've not really got the strength to go through this like Jesus would go through it. You may have heard me tell this. I've told it a number of times. I remember one time I was up against something, and I pondered it. I wanted to do what was right, so I pondered it in my mind, what would be the way to handle it. And I ended up coming with a solution that fit me real well. I thought, that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. And I thought it was the righteous way of doing it. Thought I was on the high road. And the Lord comes by to me and kind of brought this impression to me. Write in your mind, write that out. Write that out like you'd want the Faith Publishing House to print it. What you're going to do, write that out. Write that out in the lines, I liked all the old stories of higher living. I like how the people humbled themselves down. Sometimes they lost things in the process. Sometimes they lost money in the process. Sometimes they lost this or lost that in it. But they held their integrity to God. And I love those kind of stories. So the Lord worked with me that way and said, write that the way you would want to speak of Christ and for the world to see what's the better way of living. And when that came to me, you know what I had to do? I had to rewrite the way I was going to think about it. Because my way was fleshly. My way was fleshly and it wasn't a good way. And when I saw that, as if what I would have been impressed by, your life. Or George Mueller's life. Or Hudson Taylor's life. Or one of the saints of old's life. When I looked at it like that, I said, I would not have been impressed with my life wrote that way. And so I changed it around and said, Lord, I know the answer now. I'm going to have to humble myself in this, right? I'm going to have to accept what you've brought into my life. And I'm going to have to endure. I'm going to have to endure if I'm a doer of the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because the more you sit and hear and don't do, the deeper your deception becomes. Because you create in your mind, I am religious. I am doing it. I appreciate it. I approve of the preacher. Amen, preacher. Amen. Keep on preaching. We're to love one another. Bear one another's burden. Sacrifice for one another. Give to one another. We're to be long-suffering, kind. Go, preacher, preach. Yes. Yes. That's what we do. I'm convinced. My intelligence tells me that's the right way. I'm set for it. And then something crosses me. Something crosses my life. And it's amazing how little long-suffering we can have. How easy we are to write somebody off. How easy it is for us to just say, you're out of my life. I don't want you in my life now. You've done me wrong. I'm distant. I'm making myself cold to you. I'm going to show you. Is that what the Lord told us to do? To make ourselves cold? To make a distance between us and our brother? Or did he say to be long-suffering and kind? For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. It goes on and says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. We know what the Lord said about some of these things. I'd say, be willing to say, there's more trouble caused over that little member than anything else. The ability, be a doer of the word. It says bridle that thing. Be in control of the words that you say. How easy it is, isn't it, to let them fly. Let them loose and let them loose. Someone said one time that it was like throwing feathers into the wind, then trying to gather them all back up. Running, trying to pick them up. They're blowing here and there. Oh, that's kind of embarrassing. Just recently, I dropped a piece of paper or something out. I think it was a dollar bill, actually. I don't know if the wind was blowing. Dropped that dollar, and I went to pick it up, and it blew past me, and my knees are, I can't only bend them down. And I was trying to bend down to get it, and just about the time I got to it, it blew again. And here I'm going trying to after that, and I thought, this looks really silly. I'd about let the dollar go. As look as silly as I am, trying to catch something in the wind. It's like a word went out there. But the Lord's already told us to bridle your tongue, to be careful about it, be concerned about what it might do. Lord, help us, because we're representing Jesus. We're representing the cause of God. Lord, help us that we have something more on hand than that, and we're a doer of the Word of God, that we are representing it, because the truth of it is that our lives may be the only word a lot of people read. That the only thing they're going to ever understand is the way we live our life. And if we're only hearing it from the, and we're not accepting it really into our hearts and putting it in there, they're seeing something that's not right. They may see an outward shell of a religion, but they're not seeing what really works. And sometimes it gets down to it really is harmful when they look and say, there's two people. And there's two ministers even. Or two highly esteemed people, and they can't get along. They're not being patient with those kind of things. And I know this isn't part of the plan, but it happens, doesn't it? I'm not preaching outside of reality. It happens. And we say, well, why does it happen? But look, the word seems so plain about it. So plain. The Lord was so concerned about it. In one scripture, it talks about why, I think Paul wrote it, why wouldn't you rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Why would you bring a cause against Christ? Would you not rather suffer the reproach, suffer the shame for the cause of God, and to let it be known, to let it out there that there's such dissent? Where does it come from? And yet the Word doesn't proclaim it. Then where is it? It comes from a deception. They persuade themselves that filling their head with notions is sufficient. Though their hearts be empty of good affections and resolutions, and their lives fruitless of God, of good works, self-deceit will be found the worst deceit at last. Lord, help us. Over in Galatians, doer of the word. Oh Lord, help us that we esteem thy word more than our necessary food. That the value of it is digested down into my life. And I do what it says. That I esteem it up and realize that the value of my eternal soul is in relationship with the word of God. I'll make heaven if I follow the word of God. In the 22nd verse of the 5th chapter of Galatians, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Agape. Unconditional. Deep. Lasting. Love. Love for who? Love for all. It's the word of God. I hear you, Lord. You mean in everything? To everybody? Well, what about them ones that are against me? Them too. What about the ones that slander my name, Lord? Them too. We make a mistake. It isn't that there's anything to love about them. It's that there's love in here. God don't love us because we're lovable. He loves us because He is love. The love's in here. There's where we make the mistake. Be doers of the Word. Have the love of God in your heart. Lord, help us that we don't go that way, because if we do, we're only going to love them that love us. It's easy to do that. That's the way the world does it. That's the way people do it. That's the way families do it. But don't you cross me. I fold my towels a certain way, and you better fold them that way too. I comb my hair a certain way, and I don't like you if you don't comb yours that way. My socks have to be on. That's the way people are. If I don't agree with the way you do things, then I'm not going to be a part of you. You do it my way. It's the best way. Or it's the only way. Or it's the highway. But there's no tolerance in this. And this is the way it is with people. But the Lord said that the fruit of the Spirit was love. Our spirit ought to be love. It oughtn't be determined on the way people do things, all those things. It should be on because I've got love in my heart from God, divine. Lord, help me to have it. I heard the word that spoke it. I know that's what Christ is. So, Lord, help me to gain it that way. If I don't, I've heard it. If I don't, I'm going to be deceived in my actions. I'm going to be deceived. I'm going to feel like that I'm doing everything right and I'm not. Help me, Lord, to put it into my life. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. I know there's burdens. And I know that there is hard times. And there's all those other things that go along with it. And yet a fruit of the Spirit is a calm assurance that all's well. That through it all, not because of what's happening, but because of who He is and what He's put in me, there always remains in there joy. That calm assurance of everything being right. And I can face it now that way. And when the world looks on, they should see a people that don't stampede. Because He's still on His throne. We ought to be calm in our realms around us and the things that happen. Calm with faith in God. Peace. A peaceful people. Not given to strife. Not always on the battle. Oh, there's always a battle in the spirit, but you know what I'm talking about. Not always the fretting, pushing, shoving, fighting, quarrelsome attitude, but peace. A peace that passes understanding. You really think that as we impress, or as we live for the Lord, that really people that don't have Him should be impressed to get Him? I mean, Lord, help us to be able to say, that's worth having. That's worth having. If the only way to impress Him is get Him in and let Him hear it, then, because if we're not doers, they don't get the benefit. They got to come in too and hear it. But we're supposed to be doers. Therefore, I've heard, and that I'll do. Lord, I appreciate it, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to put that in my life because it's valuable. It's going to get us through. Love and joy and peace. Why wouldn't the world want it? Why wouldn't everybody want it? Long-suffering. This one sticks with me. Long-suffering. What's that mean? Brother Sammons used to say, how long is long-suffering? Well, as soon as you quit, you're not long-suffering then, are you? How long is long suffering? How long do you suffer? As soon as you quit, you're not long suffering. You quit. So in other words, there's no end to long suffering. To being long suffering means you endure. You go on, you endure, you endure. Long suffering. For what? I wonder for what? For what I face in life. Long suffering. I got to be a doer of long suffering. Not short suffering. I'll put up with you for just a little bit. I'll put up with what we're different about that long. I'm going to put up with you just about like that. And yet the Lord's put up with me. All the way, but still putting up with me. And He's long suffering towards us. Thank the Lord that He is. Lord, help us. We've heard that. We've heard it. Lord, I need to be long suffering. I need to quit being so quick to end things. I need to be long suffering. Lord, help me to be long suffering. Gentleness. This is not just good ideas. This is the Word of God for our lives. Things that we should desire and want in our lives. No, I think of Brother Jim White. Brother Jim White, I was very impressed with the man in his life. He's probably my best friend at home over the years. Brother Jim was in World War II. He left home, went to war. He got married before he left. Had a child. Went off to war. He told this. Some years before he come back. While he was over in war, he was in one of the first waves that flew across the channel and landed over in France and in Normandy on D-Day. After that, he ended up in Holland. He ended up at Bastogne at the Battle of the Bulge. He told me he hardened himself to war. What would a person do? What would a person do? If you knew, you might see your closest friend blew completely up in any time. And seeing death all around you. What do you do to survive that? You steel yourself. Brother Jim did. He steeled himself against it. He hardened his heart. I'm not going to care. I'm not going to care. The only way to survive is to not care. To get hard against it. So he hardened himself. And he made it through it. He didn't go crazy. He made it through it. But you can't turn yourself. You just can't turn it on and off. So he hardened himself. And he come back hard. And he come home and he told me when he first laid his eyes on his wife and child that he hadn't seen but once, I think, in all that time. He said, I had no human feelings towards them at all. He said, I went through the motions, went up and hugged my wife, my daughter, but I felt nothing. And he said, I could hardly function. He told me how he liked to go over and the guys would get together over in one of the joints there or something. And that's where he had his camaraderie at. That's where he could go. The only thing he could do. And he didn't know how. He told me with tears in his eyes, Marty didn't know how. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know how to be a father. I was a hard man. I was hard. Until the Lord got a hold of me. And he became a doer of the Word. He started applying the things that God wanted to teach him. You know what he wanted all of his life? He was a man that was known around his hometown as being a very hot-headed, very tempered man. Hot-tempered. If the preacher was to preach on gentleness, almost always, even up to the end of his days, he'd end up at the altar. Many times I've prayed with him and him say, oh, with tears, I want to be a gentleman. I want gentleness in my life. I looked at him as one of the most gentle people I ever knew. But yet he knew the weakness that he had, and he longed to be a doer of the Word. The Word taught to be gentle, and he wanted to be gentle. He wanted to be known as a gentle person, to put it into his life. Not be one of trouble, but be a gentle person. Somebody that was easy to talk to, easy to entreat. He wanted that in his life. And to become a doer of it against odds that you and I have never met. But he had the odds against him, had steeled himself to such hardness, and yet the Lord delivered him from that and gave him his desire because he was supposed to be gentle. And he won that. In any of these fruits where we're short, God wants us to be a doer. To come to that place to where we have a fuller experience of that in our lives. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, on almost everything there is, the Lord teaches moderation. He teaches moderation of life. You shouldn't eat too much. You shouldn't do anything too much that's good. You can fish too much. You can do anything. He teaches moderation of all things. But he made an exception on the fruits. You can't have too much love. You can't moderate it. You can't moderate long suffering. Don't be moderate in gentleness. You get all of it that you can, and you'll be better off for it. We mentioned, I think it was last night, the story of Joseph. I wonder sometimes how we would respond, or we do respond maybe even. Joseph wasn't done right. He was done wrong. And there isn't no doubt about it. He was done wrong. He did not deserve that. He never had ill will towards his brothers. He was only doing what God wanted him to do. And yet his brothers treated him very poorly. They took him and pretended that he to his father that he was dead, threw him in a well. Hadn't been for Reuben, they would have killed him. He spared him, got him out, and sent him off and sold him into slavery. Sent him into Egypt. That wasn't good to do. People risk their eternal souls on unforgiveness. It'll hurt you more than it'll hurt those you have it against. It'll eat you like a canker. It'll kill you. It'll make bitterness in there, and it'll cause a lot of problems in your own life. But wait a minute. Brother Marty, I've heard it ever since I've been saved that you forgive one another. It's the Word of God. If you don't forgive them, men, their trespasses, your Heavenly Father is not going to forgive yours. That's the Word of God. And yet, how obedient are we to the doing of the Word? To how deep do you go with that? Or to what measure do you go? I remember that. And yet Joseph, in the process of time, the fulfilling of time, God's time, Joseph became second to the Pharaoh. And there became a famine in the land. A great famine in the land. And here's Joseph over it all. What a place to be. There was only one over him, and that was Pharaoh himself. What a place to be. And here comes those brothers. Here they come. Oh, now you poor fellas. You're hungry, huh? Oh, have I waited for this day. You fellas are hungry. Uh-huh. You know, we don't do that because most of the time we ain't in that position, and we wouldn't want to let it known if we did. But how many times in our meditations and thoughts, now Lord help us, if I ever got the upper hand on you, oh, if the incident ever happened that I got there, we meditate and think, oh, if they ever got there, boy, would I like to let them know how much they hurt me. Because the truth of it is, as a man thinketh in his heart, So is he. Be doers of the words and not hearers only, but to put in there in the times that these things come, Lord, help me to be forgiving as you was. Help me to realize the providence of God and that nothing slips your hand. And you've been in this, Lord, all the way through. And now when Joseph did, he played a little game with them. I suppose that was all right. I would have done the same thing probably and more. It was a good game to play. They didn't know who he was and he knew who they were. But he didn't have no maliciousness to them. He was glad to see them. Oh, the homecoming. Wondered about Dad and that young brother. Wondered about them other brothers. How did he treat them? Welcomed them. And you know what he done? It's Christ-like. Lord, help us. You know what he done? He soothed their guilts. Not only did he say, okay, it's over, but let them go ahead. No, he soothed their guilt. He made it as easy on them as he possibly could. He didn't twist the knife. He made it. He relieved them. Not only did he forgive them, he relieved them. We didn't say, okay, I'll forgive them. But he relieved them. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Brother, don't look at it. You look at it the right way. It was God in it all the time. He relieved them of it. By the dispensation of God, he said. It was God's work. Don't feel bad. God brought us to this, and now here we're all saved. God saved us all. You know how many times we want to say, yeah, we'll forgive you, and make it hard on them to ever even be saved. Lord, help us to make it easy as we can on them. Make it as easy as we can for them to come and say, I'm sorry. I imagine it would be pretty easy now to say to him, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it happened. But if we ain't careful, our forgiveness isn't full. But yet, I've heard that. How's Jesus' forgiveness for you? Is it full? Has he blamed you? Has he left you with guilt? No. It was full, wasn't it? Joseph is a representation of a doer. Joseph was a doer. He done what the Lord wanted him to do. We mentioned this meeting another man. Job was a doer. He was a doer of the word. He done what God wanted him to do. He held with his integrity, his honor. He didn't blame. He didn't cast the doubts and the shadow. He didn't do that. He went on. He was a doer. A doer of patience. Endurance. You've heard of the patience of Job. Yeah, he endured. He endured the suffering. He endured all that he had to go through. And he was a doer of the word. And he showed the world around him, those that didn't believe, those that had it wrong, he showed them at the end of it by a life faithful to God. All this world's desperate to see true Christians. Lord, help us to be doers of the word and all that it says. It teaches us of all these wonderful qualities, all these wonderful things. Oh, Daniel. He was a doer. Take it to Daniel, they said. Need an interpreter? Take it to Daniel. Take it to somebody who can do it. He can do it. He's faithful. God's with him. He'll do it. What's the handwriting mean? Call Daniel. What's the dream mean? Call the doer. He'll do it. God's with him. He was a doer of the word. And they tried to get him, and it would have been easy to have bitterness against them. They were evil men and they were after him, but he committed himself to God. It would have been easy for him to kept shut up, but he didn't. He went ahead and prayed like he always did, and he put himself into the hands. What faith? I've heard of that. I've heard of faith. I saw it in the scriptures. I've heard the Lord say it. Have faith in God, he said. Remember when they come by and the Lord had cursed the fig tree, and they come back by just a few hours later and the fig tree was already withered? And they said, Lord, how quickly the fig tree withers. And Jesus said to them, have faith in God. I heard that. I heard that. Have you heard it? Have you ever heard of having faith in God? Have you ever heard that there's one in heaven that sits on his throne and makes intercession for us? Have you ever heard that? You can hear that all you want. The angels can proclaim it day after day in their messages. But if I don't have faith, it does me no good. There have been faithful men that God put in the scriptures for you and us to pattern our lives after, that they were doers of the word. Meekness and temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You hear that? I heard it. But have I done it? Am I a doer? And if I'm not, I'm in jeopardy. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the lust and the affections thereof. I don't know how much plainer that can be in my hearing. But there's a short circuit between there and the doing. Crucified. That means it's put to death. It's dead. No life in it anymore. The lust and the affections are gone. Crucified the flesh. Lord help me. It's what the scripture says. I want to look at another scripture. Isaiah 58. In the third verse. It says, wherefore have we fasted, say they. And thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls? And thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of the wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free? And that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Sounds like the Lord had an ought against some folks back there. But wait. These were fasting religious people that had heard. They had heard, or they wouldn't have been fasting. But oh, how wrong they were. Altogether wrong. And God reproved them for their wrong. And he started saying language like this. What they was doing, they was fasting. They would fast, but then they would store up the food that they didn't. They would have eaten, but they didn't. But the Lord said, you shouldn't have done that. You should have gave it to the poor. They fast by necessity all the time. Where's your heart? Why in your heart not in this? I'm not chosen a fast for you to go on and, oh, I'm going to be religious and fast. And so that means they'd make their servants work harder to take up the slack. Always trying to get more out of it. They turned the fast to a feast of getting more and more of it. And the Lord said, what are you doing with this? You know, if we're not careful, we use these things of the Word of God to an advantage He never intended. I'll use my standing or my righteous appearance, or I'll use the way I stand among people as a proof that I'm right in this. Oh, how many times the Lord comes to people and say, you got it wrong. Be a doer of these simple ideas of the Lord. Put these qualities into your life. Be a peacemaker. That's what the Word said. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, you know, I'll be honest with you. I had a little Bible study up home about that scripture. And I said, when I started the Bible study, I said, I'm going to confess to you that that scripture has always thrown me. I have never understood inherited in the earth who wants it. I've never understood that. But the Lord opened that up to me, and I understand it. You know what that means? The earth meant the land. And it was an allegory of the old land that they inherited. And every man inherited his lot by what God gave him. I think that's blessed is the meek, isn't it? Blessed is the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek. Meek. We inherit the land made for us. Meekness is the key that allows us to have our whole possession, our whole land. That humble, meek attitude is what opens the door to the inheritance that God has given us in the Spirit. Lord, help us. I've got to be a doer of the Word. I've got to be meek. As soon as I stand up to fight for my own, I've lost my inheritance. Lord, help us. Is this a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head, all the acts of butting down, to acting like that I'm doing something, all of those things? And yet the answer was, he said, the poor? Whose house am I to take him to? It says, take him to thy house. Well, I'll send them over to Brother Dan. I'll send them over to him. Oh, what the Word says. Need somebody to help him. Brother Dan will help him. Take him to thy house. I have a burden, my heart, that we're everything that the Lord wants us to be. That the church is what it's supposed to be in all of its members. That the trivial things are seen as trivial things. And that in the place is put this work of God. And that we're known to God as doers. As doers. And so God can say now, I need for somebody that I'm working with to see the love of God. And I've got a doer for the work. I need someone that has been affected by religion till they see it wrong. They see it harsh. I need someone to show them the gentleness of Christ. Yes. And I've got a doer to send. I've got somebody that's going to break the myth. I've got somebody that I can send that they're going to be able to see the true work. Years ago, we was in Junction City, Kentucky to have a tent meeting. And some of us, brother, me and Brother Ivan, Brother Dan, some of us was out handing out invitations to the tent meeting. And I came to a house, and there was a lady on the porch, and I invited her to the meeting. And after I invited her, she thanked me and all, and I turned away, was walking down the driveway, and I looked over at another house over there and kind of looked, how do you get to it? And when I did, there was this impression came to my mind, you better be careful over there. No, I thought, an impression. Could be anything. You know how impressions are. It was the Lord. The woman behind me hollers and says, I wouldn't go over there if I was you. That really got me. Had two witnesses. I said, why? Got a big dog. You got a great big dog. And I said, is it loose? No, they keep it in. Well, I better go then. I went over, and you probably heard me tell this story, but I went up and the door was open, but the screen was shut, but the door was open. By the time I walked up on this little platform and going to knock on the door, there was a rumble come through the house. This big old Rottweiler come and hit that door, blew it wide open. And I'm a back pedal and this dog's coming at my feet and I'm kind of going down like this and down. And I'm going back to the yard and I was just about to jump up on the blazer. There was a place I was just about to try to get up on there. And boy, there was a woman come running out of that house and she was excited. She was hollering at the dog and she was hollering at me and she got the dog calmed down and then she started on me. Well, I was invading her space, so I just stood there and listened to her. And she was telling me all about how to behave around dogs and how I should have stood still. Standing still wasn't an option for me. There was a lot of options, but standing wasn't one of them. Anyway, she started, and I kind of went to research. I said, well, the reason I don't want to know what you're doing. She went into it again for a little bit. And after she calmed down, I said, ma'am, I said, you could help me out if you was a mind to. Well, how's that? I said, well, I'm very passionate about what I'm doing. I really believe in it. And I would like to know why someone like you wouldn't want what I'm trying to do. Well, she didn't hardly know how to say that. And I told her, well, we was having a tent meeting and all that. And she said, well, I'll tell you why. And she started telling me about religion. And I had to agree with her. She told me about the way it was there in that area. And I had to agree with her of the wrongness of it. But I ended up telling her. I said, ma'am, that has nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing. I said, the Lord's looking for you and a relationship with you, and none of that religion has anything to do with it at all. And she kind of dropped her head and let me have your papers. There needs to be somebody that the Lord can say, I need a doer. I need somebody that's been doing the work. They've got it in here. Somebody to do it. Because there's people out there that's all they've ever seen. One more rubbing shoulders with somebody that just sits and listens in the answer. There's got to be a doer involved. Somebody that's got it in there. The compassion. Are we to be compassionate? I think I've heard that he was compassionate. I think I've heard that. I think that I've heard that he went about doing good. I think I've heard that. How easy it is to ruin that testimony. So easy. Back to James. We'll end in James, first chapter. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. You know the truth about the gospel is there is rules. There is rules. It says a law. A law has certain things that makes it a law. There's rules. There's enforcement of rules and there's consequences for denying them. To look into the perfect law of liberty is to accept all them premises. The fact of it is, there's a penalty. There is a penalty for not doing what the Lord says. Some like to say that there isn't. That it's a time, it's grace and there's nothing else. This is a law. There's a law to this. It's a law of liberty. There is penalties for not doing what the Lord said to do. And we will suffer those penalties. I will be deceived in my own heart if I'm not a doer of the word. If I don't find the reality of what it is, and I know for myself that that is a truth, and I find the fullness of it. The Lord said to be kind, and you can be. I'll never know that you can be if I don't. I'll never know the reality of His grace if I don't find it for myself. That I can have these fruits in my life. He says it's a perfect law of liberty. And continueth therein. That means to stay into it. And being not a forgetful hearer. I heard it. And I apply it. I need it. Now I lack something else. The grace to put it in action. There's a part here for us, folks. Lord, I need it. Just the way Brother Jim did it, that's the way I need to do it too. I need to seek that thing. I'm not a forgetful hearer of it. Lord, You showed me that night. And I want to always honor that vision that You gave me. I heard You. Now help me to be a doer of it. Apply that into my life. That sweet fruit comes out of my life. That I'm able to handle these things in my life. And I'll tell you this too. I believe that there is a tough love. I think we have to be. I think there's a time that you can be very selfish in your love. There's an old saying comes as discipline children, it hurts me more than it does you. Well, I don't know about that. But I do know this, as a parent, it's hard for me to see my children not happy. It's hard for me to disrupt that little corner of my world. So I don't discipline them. That's not love. It's not love. Love is to go beyond that flesh and feelings and do what's best. Lord, I've heard You. I've heard You crucify the flesh. Do what's right. And that will be the challenge of our lives. And oh, how in closing, my heart's been grieved so many times, so many different times when it seems like that I've seen the conflicts between people. And I thought, the Lord just addressed that Sunday. The Lord just opened that thing up, and here it is Monday. And it's almost like, well, maybe we ought to preach that message again on Tuesday. Because no, it was heard. It was amened. But it wasn't applied. That's right. Lord, help us to be doers. You pray for me.